The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hello, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Stem cell transplant in MS. Patients support, but neurologists hesitant. People who underwent a hematopoietic stem cell transplant, or HSCT, many of them patients with multiple sclerosis, were supportive of the treatment despite its high costs and hesitancy and opposition from their neurologists, a survey study showed. Most surveyed HSCT recipients, about 85%, believe their symptoms were better controlled after the stem cell transplant, and those with MS saw an overall reduction in disability. However, more than half of the transplant recipients' neurologists did not support the procedure, and more than 30% did not continue patient care post-treatment, the survey found. Our findings indicate that patients are prepared to travel and invest considerable amounts of time and money in HSCT, the researchers wrote, adding that their study provides stimulus for large randomized controlled trials into the use of the experimental treatment. The study, a global online study of hematopoietic stem cell transplantation in multiple sclerosis and other neurodegenerative disorders, was published in Chronic Diseases and Translational Medicine. HSCT is being explored as a way to help reset the body's dysfunctional immune system in various disease states. The approach takes advantage of the capacity for blood stem cells to self-renew and produce virtually any blood cell type in the body. Basically, the treatment involves collecting blood stem cells from a patient and then wiping out the person's immune system using chemotherapy and/or radiation. The blood stem cells are then transplanted back into the patient so they can repopulate the immune system with healthy cells. Surveying transplant recipients. Stem cell-based therapies are gaining traction for the treatment of MS and other immune conditions, but many clinicians do not support the procedure. HSCT is not approved for MS in the U.S., where it is considered an experimental treatment, but the procedure is supported by the National MS Society for patients with very active disease who haven't responded well to other disease-modifying treatments. The number of HSCTs performed is increasing every year, the researchers noted. While some evidence suggests that it can reduce disability and relapse rates in MS patients, concerns about the true efficacy of the procedure, especially given its high cost and potential risks, remain. Now, a team of researchers in Australia set out to better understand the use of HSCT around the world, creating a survey aimed at people who had undergone such a transplant. The internet-based survey was administered via Facebook and included 21 questions designed to understand the demographics of patients undergoing HSCT, treatment protocols, and the degree of treatment success. Overall, 223 survey respondents underwent HSCT, most of whom were female, 73.5%, and with a household income of more than $50,000, 78.9%. About two-thirds were from Australia or the U.S. The remaining participants were from Western Europe, Canada, and South Africa. A majority of participants, 94.6%, had MS, and one person had clinically isolated syndrome, or CIS. The other respondents had chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy, stiff person syndrome, scleroderma, polyneuropathy, organomegaly, endocrinopathy, myeloma protein syndrome, or neuromyelitis optica spectrum disorder. Most had their HSCT treatment in Russia, 38.7%, and Western Europe, 26.7%, with the remaining having been treated in Australia, 5%, India, 4.5%, and Canada, 0.5%. The treatment costs range from less than $15,000 to more than $150,000, with almost half of patients spending somewhere between $50,000 and $75,000. Additional costs including travel, accommodation, and meals totaled an average of $13,800 per patient. More than half of the patient's neurologists did not support them seeking HSCT treatment, but 65.5% of the patients received care from the same neurologist after the procedure. After treatment, patients saw five types of medical specialists: neurologists, hematologists, general practitioners, rheumatologists, and physiotherapists. A total of 83.3% of patients were satisfied with their post-transplant care. Most people who had HSCT either agreed or strongly agreed that the treatment was successful in managing disease symptoms, with symptom improvements seen from immediately to a few years after the procedure. The percentage of participants who would recommend the treatment to other people was 95.4%. For the 197 MS patients who underwent a stem cell transplant, scores on the Expanded Disability Status Scale, or EDSS, a measure of disease progression, were significantly reduced after HSCT. Those scores dropped by an average of 1.2 points, reflecting an overall lessening in disability with the transplant. In total, 130 patients saw EDSS improvements, 50 experienced no change, and 17 patients had an EDSS worsening. Overall, the findings show that patients are overwhelmingly supportive of the treatment, despite the costs, but that HSCT is still facing opposition from neurologists and other specialists, some of whom refuse to treat their patients following treatment, the team wrote. Greater research is needed in this area to elucidate the effectiveness and timing to establish it as a proven therapy, they added. This news article was written by Lindsay Shapiro, PhD, on August 31, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. Fall Down, Get Up Again, a column by John Connor, published on September 2, 2022. Thanks to MS progression, my weight became a problem. My weight went off the scale when my multiple sclerosis meant that I could no longer safely get on the scale. This was probably about 4 years ago. And then there, halcyon days, for me anyway, I still shared our second-floor bedroom, first floor for those of us in the UK, with my forbearing wife, Jane. I say forbearing because toward the end, I only ventured out of it to empty poo via propelling myself on my wheeled commode to the bathroom. Our bedroom was now my office, lavatory, and dining room, hardly a salubrious partner to share a room with. The only time I left was for medical appointments, parties, and to run my comedy show on Tuesdays. Stumbling downstairs was relatively straightforward. I went with the flow of gravity. Getting back up then, however, was increasingly becoming like scaling the hardest indoor climbing wall at the local leisure center, especially after the fatigue of working all evening and a few drinky poos. That was just bonding with my team. Hey, it's showbiz, love. One Tuesday, sometime in the early new year of 2019, I knew I wasn't going to make it up them. Anyway, a new hospital bed had just been installed in our freshly decorated front room. I wheeled into my new bedroom and pulled myself into bed. I would never make it back up those stairs again. Jane and I were now a Victorian, or occasionally presidential, married couple with separate bedrooms. Then within 7 months of my Ocrevus treatment being ended in December 2019 due to a shot immune system, two mega relapses followed. These put me into a wheelchair that had to be powered. Oh yes, there also was a new pandemic that had flipped most of the world to science fiction mode. COVID-19, with next to no immunity and no vaccine yet available, was for me a death sentence. Was I now paranoid of everyone? You betcha. I gave up. I increasingly ate more, which became a neurological cycle of addiction, in which the more I ate, the more I needed. A loaf of bread had to be purchased daily. The load of my morning toast was breaking the plate. There was no thought of calories when I had those crisp slices of wholemeal bread, lathered with peanut butter and a bit of red jam. All of my many trips to North America had rubbed off on my toast. I had no idea of my weight. I kept eating. In March 2021, I was carted off to the hospital with cellulitis. There they measured my weight, when they had to put me in a hoist to give me an air mattress. I was shocked to learn that I was now 18 stone, 252 pounds. I'd never been that heavy before. Previously, 16 stone, 224 pounds was enough to make me reduce my calorie load. Chesmoy, I had a big basket of treats to grab at my own pleasure. This meant I didn't disturb Jane, whose office was now the dining table in the kitchen. Her proper office, and long, long ago also mine, was up in our converted loft. This was now occupied by her brother for just over a year. Lockdown had trapped him here, and my youngest son was back for the duration, so his room was also denied to her. On my return to the hospital, I axed the basket of treats, but it wasn't enough. My brain craved food. Last month, I went to the hospital again to be assessed for a clinical drug trial. They had to give me an MRI, during which a hoist was needed to transfer me. While I was in the hoist, I inquired about my weight. I was gobsmacked at the response, 20 stone, 280 pounds. In response, I've been radical lately, eating small, controlled breakfasts, and then nothing till dinner, with no seconds. Amazingly, I've already lost a half a stone, or 7 pounds. I also found out they have wheelchair scales at my MS therapy center. They weighed my wheelchair while I was in the standing frame, and once I was back in the chair, they weighed the lot and deducted the chair's weight. The good news is I've been self-catheterizing for over a decade, and it's just gotten a lot easier. I can now see what I'm doing rather than spending eons trying to insert the catheter. Before, it was like trying to hit a bullseye on a dartboard with a blindfold. For my American readers, darts is like axe throwing, except you can play it down at the pub. To read more columns from John Connor and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.